And that opens up our next public hearing, our last for the day, LD 1600, an act to investigate perifluoral alkyl and polyfluoral alkyl substance contamination of land and groundwater. And this bill is being presented by our own Representative Gramlich.
So good afternoon, and to the rest of my distinguished colleagues on the Joint Standing Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. I am Lori Gramlich, representing House District 13, which is the town of Old Orchard Beach. I'm pleased to present LD 1600, an act to investigate PFAS contamination of land and groundwater. As we have heard many times and are really quite familiar with PFAS being the so-called forever chemical, the toxicity of which poses significant health risks, which increases the risk of certain cancers, interfering with our immune system responses, and lowering a woman's chances of getting pregnant. We know that PFAS are used in thousands of everyday products, including cookware, clothing, food packaging, textiles, car seats, and I have to say it again because it just, I still try to wrap my brain around it, dental floss, to name a few. I know that you all are well aware, but I will reiterate for the record, PFAS do not break down and remain in the environment practically forever unless cleaned up. PFAS have contaminated water and soil across our state, harming our environment and contaminating farmland and our drinking water. Ultimately ending up in our wastewater, PFAS has further contaminated our land and groundwater due to the use of sludge as a fertilizer for farmland. Indeed, PFAS contamination is at crisis levels in Maine. There are at least two dairy farms that we know of and more than 100 wells, well water, that have been contaminated, and that is just the tip of the toxic iceberg. Contaminated wells have been found in Fairfield, Arundel, Presque Isle, Holton, and Trenton. In fact, just this week, the Maine Department of Environmental Protection has included areas in Benton and Unity Township as contamination sites as it continues to test residential wells for PFAS contamination. In fact, the Department of Environmental Protection has a list of over 700 sites where individual and sewer sludge has been spread. It is imperative that we get these sites tested so that we can get a full sense of the contamination. LD 1600 will allow the Department of Environmental Protection to prioritize those sites based on the type and amount of sludge sites received, as well as the likelihood of the site exposing people to the PFAS, such as through their drinking water, that should be tested. We know that this critically important testing comes with a price tag. LD 1600 establishes the Land Application Contaminant Monitoring Fund. This monitoring fund will be funded by a $10 per ton fee assessed on any disposal of septage, industrial sludge, municipal sludge, bioash, wood ash, and other residuals. Because we understand that remediation is expensive, the bill further requires that any unused funds left over after 5 years in the monitoring fund will be transferred to the Uncontrolled Sites Fund to be earmarked for cleanup and remediation of contaminated farmland. While this bill as drafted did not specifically reference leachate, I would like the committee to consider amending this bill with language embedded at the end of my testimony to include leachate. Sadly, PFAS is also ending up in our wastewater and in our rivers through leachate from landfills. This leachate, including leachate shipped in from out of state, is minimally tested before it is sent to wastewater treatment facilities for processing. Once processed, PFAS can again end up in sludge or be discharged into our rivers, causing additional contamination. This contamination places a particular burden on tribal communities who are particularly dependent upon the rivers for their way of life, especially as it pertains to sustenance fishing and clean water. This amendment will require the Department of Environmental Protection to set up a program to test leachate for PFAS before the leachate is delivered to wastewater treatment facilities. It will also require the department to set a maximum allowable level for PFAS and toxic metals by 2024. I urge you to vote unanimously, ought to pass as amended to LD 1600. Thank you. I appreciate your consideration. I appreciate your indulgence, and I would be happy to try to answer any questions for you.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions so far regarding the legislation for Representative Gramlich? All right, not seeing any. I will bring Where did she go? I think next up is Representative Perry. Oh, yeah, Representative Hanley.
Yes, I'd like to find the amended language. Do we have that posted yet?
It should be. You said it was at the end of your testimony, Representative Gramlich?
Yes, Senator. And Representative Hanley, I also asked our analyst to send it out to the committee. I think I asked him last night or this morning. I can't remember, but I did ask that it also get sent. But it is attached at the end of my testimony as well.
Which he did at 5:45.
Yeah, it's up on the website now. Welcome, Representative Perry. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I think this is maybe only the second time in my five terms that I've testified in front of the Environment Committee. Good afternoon now, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Wayne Perry. I proudly represent District 10, which includes towns of Arundel, Dayton, and portions of Lyman. I'm honored to appear here today to support LD 1600, an act to investigate, and I'll say PFAS, substances contamination of land and groundwater. PFAS issue is starting to affect every corner of the great state of Maine. It is very disturbing that the agencies overseeing this issue have not come forward to address them on their own. I really wish the bill like this was unnecessary. The agencies that are supposed to oversee the protection of our environment did not do so with regards to the harms caused by PFAS. As a matter of fact, one of the farms that's been destroyed is one that is included in my district, Stone Ridge Farms, Inc. And they were told by these very agencies that the stuff they were spreading on the farms was safe. We know that of a few of these problems that currently exist, but these agencies don't seem to want to step up for the other possible farms facing the same predicament. We know that the agency have refused to cover previous testing costs for the farms that we know about, which is potentially a friendly amendment to this bill. Although I have some reservations with the scope of the funding source of this bill, I believe the committee members will be able to narrow that some. I would believe that we could openly be opening a can of worms here, as hurting more farms without compensation should not be done. Protecting our food supplies along with protecting the farm should be paramount. I'm sure there's plenty of representatives here from the various agencies. The fields at the Maine Correctional Center in Windham is one place that they should be testing right away. I grew up right up the street from the Correctional Center in Windham. They have just put a vegetable farm for the prison right on top of a previous area that SD Warren dumped sludge back in the 60s and 70s. My mother went down and talked to them as they were working on this garden, and they brushed her off. My mother's lived right up the street from there for 55 years. When these places find out about areas that could have possible contamination, I would think they would be looking at it right away. Thank you very much for your time and consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions I can.
Does the committee have any questions for Representative Perry? All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And next up will be Victoria Elefethero from the DEP. Oof. I mean, I've learned how to pronounce the PFAS, the PFOA and PFAS. I'm going to get your name. I'm going to do it.
That's okay. There's still opportunity to do so.
Great.
Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the committee, I am Victoria Elefethero, Deputy Director of the Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management at DEP, speaking neither for nor against LB 1600. This bill would require the department to develop and implement a program to test soil and groundwater for per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, commonly known as PFAS, at locations licensed to land applied residuals. The department supports PFAS testing at these locations, but has several concerns with the approach proposed in this bill. They involve prioritization of sites for testing, practicality of the testing schedule, and the absence of time needed to remediate contaminated sites if discovered. We'll also briefly discuss the proposed fee and fiscal impact. We are aware that an amendment regarding leachate has been proposed, but have not fully evaluated it. The department offers to work with the sponsor and the committee to address our concerns. The bill requires the department to prioritize locations that received industrial residuals prior to 2015 and complete testing of these locations by 2022, with testing of the remaining locations that received residuals prior to 2019 by 2023. Based on our records, as you've already heard, this would require testing of approximately 700 sites. Each of these sites may involve one or many parcels with potentially separate owners. Some locations were historically licensed, but have since surrendered their license, and all or portions of these locations may have been sold and are now under private ownership. 38 MRS Section 347C gives the department the right of inspection and entry. However, it's unclear if the phrase historically licensed or permitted to apply residuals in the bill is meant to compel investigation of this group of sites under the provisions of that law. Current evidence from our work in Fairfield confirms the need to investigate sludge land application sites. However, as currently drafted, LD 1600 would have caused us to defer testing fields in Fairfield until the second year of the proposed program because these fields did not receive industrial residuals as prioritized by this bill. Based on testing done during 2019 and 2020, the results indicate that sludges contain PFAS at concentrations which could impact groundwater. Very limited testing of septage done to date indicates that septage may also contain PFAS at levels of concern. Testing so far on bioash does not indicate this material contains PFAS at levels warranting testing. The department does not have data regarding levels of PFAS in wood ash, but does not anticipate that it would contain PFAS at levels warranting testing. Based on this information, the department recommends that the bill focus on sludges and septage as the residuals that are most likely to be of concern. Consistent with our investigative approach in all our remediation programs, the department is developing a prioritization system for testing land application sites. We expect to complete this work soon and recommend additional testing locations based on this system once finalized. As drafted, the amount of work required under this bill within the specified timeframes is ambitious. The department's ability to quickly acquire staff resources and/or establish contracts with the private sector and gain access for testing is a concern. Another factor is that soils investigation is difficult during the winter months when the ground is frozen, so limited investigative work could only be accomplished during this time. Regardless of whether the department uses a combination of staff resources and private contractors to perform this work, with the volume of sites needing investigation and seasonal limitation, it will be difficult at best to meet these proposed deadlines. Thus, the department recommends adjusting the proposed completion date. LD 1600 requires the department to complete testing of all locations by 2023, regardless of site type or complexity. As previously noted, we believe this date should be modified. The bill prioritizes only the testing of locations that receive residuals for land application without consideration for the need to provide treatment. Simply put, if LD 1600 was in effect when the department conducted initial sampling in Fairfield, the aggressive directive of this bill would have caused us to move on to test the next site instead of expanding our investigation, identifying the extent of impacts, and most importantly, installing filter systems. Test results from our work in Fairfield have identified some of the highest concentrations in drinking water that we've seen in Maine. These levels warranted immediate action, but will be problematic for the department to address if our resources are required to focus only on investigating sites. Our experience indicates that our work related to PFAS is of significant public interest and is tracked accordingly by both environmental groups and the public, with an expectation that identified impacts and risk from PFAS will be remediated immediately. We support the need to address contaminated drinking water supplies in a timely manner to ensure that the public has safe water to drink. The department estimated potential revenue from the proposed $10 per ton fee for the handling of sludges and septage. The department estimated the fee based on handling as opposed to disposal, as disposal only refers to landfilling or incineration. It would not capture land application of residuals. Estimating projected revenue was difficult because septage is generally reported in gallons and sludge is generally reported in cubic yards or tons. The department suggests modifying the bill language to account for these differences in reporting units if a fee is established. Based on the applied assumptions and 2019 data, the department estimates annual revenue in the vicinity of $3.6 million for sludges and septage. Presumably, this cost will be passed on to ratepayers, homeowners, or commercial businesses. It is not clear when this fee would commence. In summary, current department resources would not be adequate to implement a program of this magnitude. However, the department recognizes the need to evaluate locations historically licensed or permitted to land apply sludge or septage. The governor is proposing PFAS-related work be a high priority, and significant funding for this work will be included in the budget cleanup package. This is consistent with recommendations from the governor's task force, and the department is committed to moving forward with these. Thank you for your opportunity to testify today. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have either now or at work session.
Thank you, Ms. Eleftheriou. Are there questions? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Eleftheriou, thanks for your testimony. You undoubtedly heard Representative Perry. It was a fairly significant thing I heard him say, and I just wanted to ask you, is it true that the DEP told farms that the sludge was safe?
It's true that the department licenses the land application of this material, and it's important to remember that at the time the material was placed, none of us had heard about PFAS. These are emerging contaminants that we're only now discovering. Maybe the manufacturers knew about these contaminants, but we didn't. So that's an important fact to consider. But as far as the facilities that land applied this material, they were in full compliance with the terms and conditions of their licenses and what is required by state law and federal law.
And I asked the question not in an accusatory way at all. It's just really just trying to kind of like get some lessons from this for the future as well, because you know, we do this and repeatedly come back upon the same problems. What would be interesting for me, this bill is, I'm a co-sponsor of the bill, I'll disclose that, but the reason I co-sponsored, and I heard your testimony, and I really would like this to work well, and you guys have the responsibility under this bill, and generally to manage most of this problem, and particularly in terms of identification of the issue and the remediation. And it would be really helpful to get more specificity about your plans for doing this and what kind of flows of funds you're going to need from the legislature in order to address this so we can begin to get our heads around it. And, you know, both of the pieces of finding out, you know, in a sensible plan for discovering the problem and learning about it, and then what we've learned about remediation costs. I know it's a bit of a moving target because the commissioner testified on an earlier bill, you know, we're still learning, and the technology for remediation is also changing. So I recognize all those weaknesses in trying to plan, but it would really be helpful, I think, for us to know what you know and what kinds of uncertainties you're dealing with, and so we can prepare ourselves for our role.
Thank
just
you.
Just a little task for work session. But thank you.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for your testimony. I won't try to ruin your name. I'll just continue from there. it's obvious everybody is on the same side of the issue. But I listened to all your concerns about the legislation. And so my question will be to the sponsor and co-sponsor, more or less, are you willing to work with the department and try to make a really good workable bill out of this so that we have something that is workable, useful, and effective? And so I guess that question goes to Representative Gamish and Senator Bennett.
And Representative Perry, too, I believe, if he's up for the task.
Yeah, I don't want to leave Representative Perry out of this.
Well, at the risk of going into work session waters, I will simply say that there was a meeting with the department earlier this week with some of the advocates, and by all means, am I receptive to continuing to work with the department so that we can address this critically important issue.
Representative Perry?
Yeah, just a real quick statement. All along, I sponsored another bill and another committee on the same issue and my biggest concern has been from the beginning that we don't forget these farms that have been destroyed because this material was told to them. And I totally understand the lady from the DEP, but they were told that it was okay. And we've got farms all over this state that have been destroyed or are being destroyed as we speak. And we can't forget about them. And sometimes some of this stuff in the future, we forget about them. And that's just important.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any additional questions for Ms. Eleftheri? Okay, I have one question for you. I guess what I would love to know is the 700 sites that you indicated, are those identified based on data from municipalities, from the DEP, from wastewater treatment plants? How are those sites identified?
The 700 sites make up both sludge and septage licensees. So they're all sites where the department has issued a license to. To land apply, correct. And okay. So we have a list of their names and locations where they have land applied.
And does everyone who's land applied have to register in some way and receive licenses? Or are there folks out there who have applied that have not registered?
In order to land apply, they would need a license from the department, and that's in order to land apply some kind of sludge, septage, residuals. They need a license to do that.
And what year does that date back to?
That probably dates back to the late 70s.
Okay. And there was like a point when you were not allowed to spread this product, and then the federal law changed. And can you explain that part?
I actually cannot explain that part, but okay. I can certainly get some information on that for you and bring it to work session.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And I guess I'd also love to know what you feel like the timeline would be if the funds were infinite in order to be able to test these 700 sites or other sites that emerged as concern. Like what do we need for time?
That's a difficult question for me to answer right now. We're almost complete with our prioritization schedule, and that would help me in terms of more intelligently answering the schedule question. But certainly if resources are unlimited and the department has additional staff, our hope is that this would be made a priority and, we could meet the schedule with a little bit of extension to it.
Can you share with us maybe not now, but in by email or something, what the criteria are for the priority list?
Sure. Let me briefly tell you right now, because Senator Bennett asked that question as well, and we can talk more about that at work session. But basically, the priority consists of knowing the type and quantity of residuals land applied, including whether they took industrial wastewater, the years applied is a consideration, and then the proximity to sensitive receptors as well, public drinking water wells, private drinking water wells. So we need to look at the complete package and then, you know, rank these sites based on that information.
Great. Thank you. Senator Bennett, I think, has an additional question.
I do, and thank you for the indulgence. I just want to be clear, because I'm there's a sense of urgency about this. I know that you feel it in the executive branch, but in the legislative branch, we'll probably be out of session in about 6 or 7 weeks. And so I want to make sure that we do everything we can between now and then. And this bill, I think, is really important. And in addition to my other information requests, if you could be really specific when we work this bill about amendments that you think are important to the bill in order to make it work, and particularly the dates, you know, are the, because the amended, my understanding is that Representative Gramlich crafted the amendment with participation from the department, and apparently it doesn't suit everything you're looking for. So I just want to make sure we don't do too much back and forth with respect to making something that works for you, particularly along the deadlines. So if you could be specific about that when we work it, it'd be really helpful, I think, to the committee. Thank you.
Representative Hanley has a question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Do you know if the department has ever tested the Wyndham Correctional Site for these chemicals? And if you don't know that, could you get that for the work session?
I can certainly get that information for you.
Thank you.
Representative Tucker. You're muted, Representative.
The committee's been very concerned about PFAS. As it emerged over the last couple of sessions. And this committee has been concerned about it from the very beginning. In fact, one of our very first votes in this committee was over the concern of funding for helping with PFAS. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any additional questions? All right, Ms. Eleftherio, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, so if folks in the attendee space want to raise their hand, if they're here to speak in favor of the legislation, and we'll bring you in, Ms. Woodbury. Lots of hands going up. Welcome, Ms. Woodbury.
Welcome, sorry about that. Just trying to get situated. Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Sarah Woodbury. I am the Director of Advocacy for Defend Our Health, and we are pleased to support LD 1600 and thank Representative Gramlich for bringing this forward. The committee has previously heard bills related to PFAS that would help stop the pollution at the source. It's essential that we try to prevent future contaminations, but we also need to investigate the extent of current contaminations across the state. The source of contamination in Fairfield, as well as high levels of PFAS in the beef and milk at Tozier Farm, was municipal and industrial sludge used as fertilizer. The same materials were responsible for ruining the Stoughton Ridge Dairy Farm. Limited data also shows fields receiving sludge more recently are also contaminated, DEP required sludge producers to test the fields where they wanted to apply contaminated sludge in 2019. Over half, 57%, exceeded the state screening threshold for just a single PFAS. Yet despite the alarming pattern of PFAS contamination, only a handful of sites have actually been tested. DEP has a list of more than 700 sites where sludge has been spread. We need to get these sites tested to get a handle on the entire scope of the contamination. LD 1600 would require DEP to test all these sites and to prioritize those believed most likely to be contaminated or where the contamination is most likely to result in exposure. There is no doubt that completing all of this testing will be expensive. The DEP currently doesn't have the resources necessary to take on this project. To help alleviate costs, this bill will set up a land application contaminant monitoring fund. The monitoring fund will be funded by a $10 per ton fee assessed on any disposal of septage, as well as industrial and municipal sludge. We must also start addressing the cost of remediation. The cost to farmers has been incredibly burdensome. There is currently little help from the state or federal government to help clean up the contaminated farms. This has, for good reason, made many farmers leery of getting their land tested. This bill will require that any unused funds from fees assessed that are left over after 5 years in the monitoring fund will be transferred to the uncontrolled sites fund to be earmarked for cleanup and remediation for the farmers. Additionally, proposed amendment by Representative Gramlich adds a provision to this bill requiring leachate to be tested for PFAS prior to being processed by water treatment facilities. PFAS has been widely identified in landfill leachate. This PFAS is going to end up in our sludge or our water discharged into our waterways. This source of contamination has been a particular concern to Maine's tribal communities who are more likely to be heavily exposed to PFAS from sustenance fishing. And just very quickly, I wanted to address the concerns put forth by the department. We had a meeting with Dave Burns in the department. Unfortunately, Victoria was not there. I would urge the department to look at that language, which we sent earlier this week, which Representative Gramlich has put forward. We amended that language based on their concerns about timing. We pushed the timing out 2 or 3 years. We also amended the language around the prioritization based on what Victoria was mentioning, based on those conversations with Dave Burns in the department that we had on Monday. We believe that the amendment would address almost all of the concerns that were raised by the department, although we are happy to continue to meet with them and discuss anything else that they feel hasn't been addressed. So this bill will help the state get the information it needs to move forward in addressing these issues, and we urge the committee to unanimously pass as amended. Thank you.
1 second to spare. Nice job, Ms. Woodbury. Any questions for Ms. Woodbury? All right, not seeing any. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Lippincott will be next. Mr. Lippincott.
Thanks
for joining us.
Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, distinguished members of the committee. I'm Bill Lippincott. I'm the chair of Don't Waste Maine. We're a coalition of people from all over Maine advocating for responsible solid waste policies. I live in Hamden. Yesterday, I submitted written testimony for Don't Waste Maine in support of LD 1600, in particular, the amendment for PFAS testing of landfill leachate. But today, I want to talk about my own experience in Hamden, which is the location of the now closed special waste pine tree landfill. Among the special wastes that Pine Tree took in while operating were industrial sludge and sewage treatment plant sludge, which we know are high in PFAS forever chemicals. The Pine Tree landfill is surrounded on three sides by the Sourdough Stream and its tributaries, which flow into the Penobscot River a few miles downstream. And in its annual reports, Casella, which operated the landfill, describes the Sourdough as, quote, a barrier to residential wells on the other side of the stream. In other words, the contaminated leachate from the landfill doesn't reach those wells because it goes into the stream first. This landfill is now closed, but it's still leaking badly, and it has been for many years, despite 10 years of remediation. But it's not being tested for PFAS, so we have no idea the degree to which PFAS chemicals are entering the stream. We do know that the landfill is contaminating the groundwater. That was one of the major reasons it was shut down. The landfill is surrounded by residential homes with dug wells, which are vulnerable to groundwater contamination. So we need to know if that groundwater is contaminated with PFAS. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be a matter of if, but a matter of how much. So we need testing for landfill leachate, for the Pine Tree landfill, for Juniper Ridge, for the Crossroads landfill and Norwich Walk. And I urge you to support LD 1600, including and especially the amendment for testing landfill leachate. And if I was there in person, I would hand out some maps to show you just how vulnerable the stream and residences are. And after my talk, I can mail the committee those maps. So thank you very much and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lippincott. It would be really helpful to see them, and you can submit them or email them to us or mail them, whichever is most convenient for you.
Thank you.
Are there questions for Mr. Lippincott? Also, I don't see a copy of your written testimony submitted, so you could also email that along too, and we'll make sure it gets disseminated to the committee.
Great, I will do that.
Okay, thank you so much. Questions from the committee? All right, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Next up is Dawn Neptune Adams.
Hello, folks. Bear with me as I get prepared.
Welcome, Ms. Adams.
Hi, thank you for the welcome. I need to pull up my testimony here.
Take your time.
Thank you. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the ENR committee. My name is Dawn Neptune Adams, and I am a Penobscot Nation tribal member, currently living in Brewer. I am here to speak in favor of LD 1600, an act to investigate per and polyfluorokill substance contamination of land and groundwater, and specifically of the landfill leachate amendment found in Section 4, levels of PFAS and heavy metals in landfill leachate. But first, I'd like to thank Representative Lori Gramlich for sponsoring the bill, and also Senator Bennett and many others for co-sponsoring. Penobscot elders have been praying for the water. The Penobscot River is being polluted by the state-owned, privately run Juniper Ridge landfill. Landfill leachate is a waste byproduct created when rainwater filters down through layers of solid waste in a landfill, collecting a toxic cocktail of chemicals along the way. The leachate is then trucked to the Nine Dragons Paper Mill wastewater treatment plant in Old Town, processed and dumped in the Penobscot River. One of the things we do is we amplify our elders when they speak, and I'm going to amplify Kathy Paul, who is a Penobscot elder and activist. She says, "I've been fighting that dump ever since it came because we didn't want it. It was supposed to be originally just for paper mills. We all feel that connection to something, and I'm connected to the water. I am the water. We are the water. I'm going to do the best I can to bring people together so they can help me do something, because this water is your water too. My heart is speaking to all of you today, and I hope that all of us can get together and do something as one." End quote. According to Juniper Ridge Landfill Monthly Status Reports, the volume of leachate varies. We think this is because of varying levels of precipitation. But in the last 12 months, 15,754,040 gallons of chemical-laden leachate was shipped to Nine Dragons Paper Mill for processing. According to the Penobscot Nation's Natural Resources Department, the paper mill treatment plant does not have the capacity to adequately process and test for the complex and constantly changing toxins contained in the leachate. And this includes PFAS and heavy metals. Penobscot and Ojibwe elder Charlene Francis says, "What we're doing to ourselves with this landfill leachate is totally unacceptable. I grew up being taught that everything in creation is sacred, with not one thing being more important than the other. So while I pray for the water, I also pray for all of creation, because we are all, everything in creation, is interconnected. When we harm one thing, we harm ourselves. Because of a loophole in Maine waste policy, an estimated 30 to 40% of the trash brought to Juniper Ridge landfill comes from other states. This includes trash not allowed in out-of-state landfills because of more stringent regulation. The things that are brought in are construction, demolition, and excavation debris, and wastewater sludge, which contains PFAS and heavy metals. The Penobscot people view the assault on the Penobscot River as a clear example of environmental racism and an example of environmental injustice for all affected communities on the river. We take our kinship responsibility to care for the river very seriously, and we do this for all the people of Maine. I am going to send you two videos that were recently made by Sunlight Media Collective detailing all of this. I really think it would be beneficial for us all if landfill leachate was tested for PFAS and heavy metals. The water is all interconnected. We all drink it. This affects all of us, just as it affects, you know, when there's PFAS on our farms. That affects us all because we all eat food. These are two things that are necessary for life, food and water. And I'm not just talking about our human relatives. I'm talking about our non-human relatives as well. When the Penobscot people speak out about contamination, we are speaking for human and non-human relatives.
Ms. Adams, I'm going to have you find closure for your testimony.
I'm all done.
Thank you for joining us. Does anyone have a question for Ms. Adams? I'm grateful for the time you've given us today and for sharing your words. Thank you. Next up, Fred Stone. Mr. Stone, welcome.
I'm sure I pushed the right button here. Thank you very much for your time, members of the committee. My name is Fred Stone, along with my wife, Laura. We own and operate Stonehedge Farm, which is a three-generation dairy farm in Arundel. Started by my grandfather in 1914, was taken over by his son, and then was taken over by my wife and I in 1977. There's two pieces that I gave, that I put in submission to this committee. The first page is an official in, Department of Environmental Protection permit that we received. We started spreading sludge in 1983. That would have been with S.D. Warren. We continued on for the next 21 years until 04 when our last permit ran out. The one that I have submitted for to this committee was one that was received that went from, 1986 until 1991 and would have been with Kennebunk Sewer District. And if I may be redundant and repeat, it states on item number one, will not pollute any water of the state of Maine. Number two, will not contaminate any abundant air. Number three, will not constitute a health and health welfare. Or I'm mispronouncing it, I apologize. I'm nervous as a son of a gun here. I'm a dairy farmer, not a public speaker. Will not create a nuisance. The second item that I put into my, for my, for your review is a letter that we received on November 3rd of 2016. It would have been from Kennebunk Water District, stating that the water in the aquifer is contaminated with PFAS. We would not have known that that water was contaminated with PFAS if it hadn't been for Kennebunk Water's testing. Now, I will redundant say that we the last time we did any sludge spraying on that farm was in 04. We did, so we did sludge spraying for 21 years with no, with nothing stating that this stuff was contaminated. And I will take exception with the fine people from Department of Environmental Protection that this chemical has been around since the 40s and was widely known. The EPA knew that it was a carcinogen way back in the early 70s or late 60s. Number two, We also did custom work for Gunquit and Kennebunk under DEP supervision. And we have a letter from DEP stating that there was never any infractions. We never got as much as a parking ticket from them in the 21 years that we spread material on our own farm and all the custom work that we did. I have that in a letter from DEP stating that very fact. And I will say that anything that I say before this committee or any other committees that I have spoke before, I have all the documentation to prove it. This is a big problem, my friends. We were told by the Department of by DEP back in March of 19 that we were an anomaly, that this did not happen anywhere else. And that was actually the March that we came, that we went public with this, knowing from that letter that we got. Because when we received that letter from Kennebunk Water, we immediately contacted the Department of Ag and Oakhurst Dairy that there was a problem with the water. And that December, our milk was at 1,400. And that was when we were suspended. And then the litany goes on from there, and I won't bore you with all the gory details. Financially, we are a train wreck. I had a retirement plan in November 2nd of 16. Now I do not. The farm is useless or worthless because it's contaminated. The cattle and what have you are contaminated. Those are our assets. That's our farm. That's our living. That's how we make our lives. We've been dairy farmers all our lives. The cows are the ones that, you take care of the cows take care of you. The cows didn't ask for this. We were told all the way along that we were doing our civic duty by taking this material. It was a win-win situation for both the municipalities when we were doing field spreading and for us because of the nutrients that were involved in the materials themselves. And we were told that right up until the very end. In fact, you can actually go into New Hampshire where they are still doing field spreading or in parts of Massachusetts where they still are. It's a problem. And it's not just because it's a dairy farm. It could be a veggie farm. And the solution for pollution is dilution is a good idea with the Department of Ag on milk, but it doesn't work with vegetables and beef. Those are direct contaminants, and those are directly in your body. My number is 111. Yours should be 2. My wife's is 95. My daughter's is 25. My son is 45. I have health problems because of this stuff. My daughter has health problems. My wife and my son do. We did everything by the book, and here we are. And the only thing that we've gotten is, you trusted us. You screwed up. Thank you very much, the Department of Ag and DEP. I really much appreciate it. I'm sorry, I am just a little bit beyond upset. I thank Representative Perry. I also thank Representative Henry Ingerson. Those people would listen to us and came out to the farm and wanted to try to help us. Believe me, they were probably the few that actually did. Most everybody else kind of just blows us off and we're a crackpot. I've got dairy cows in my herd that go back 5 and 6 generations. This is a dairy farm that, we wouldn't have been shipping our milk to Oakhurst for umpteen zillion years if we were a crackpot operation. Thank you very much for your time. I apologize for being just a little bit upset. I will be more than happy to calm down and take your questions if you have any that you would like to know. I guess I am one of 700 now that I know that. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. As a farmer myself, your story rests heavily on my shoulders.
As it should.
Thank you for coming. Representative Gramlich.
With your indulgence, Madam Chair, I just want to publicly apologize, Mr. Stone, for everything that you and your family have gone through. And I appreciate you coming forward and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions from the committee? All right. Thank you, Mr. Stone.
Thank you very much for your time.
Next up is Heather Spaulding.
Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the ENR committee. My name is Heather Spaulding, and I'm Deputy Director of the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, MOFGA. I'm speaking today in support of LD 1600 and want to express great appreciation to Representative Gramlich for your leadership in addressing this critical issue, and to all of you for listening to these important bills through this session. And also to all the people who've testified before me, I feel like those are all tough acts to follow. During this legislative session, we've testified on many PFAS bills, and for context and posterity, I've included in my written remarks language from prior testimony, but I'll try to abbreviate my oral remarks. So the Department of Ag and Environmental Protection have told us many times that Maine needs funding to build capacity for ongoing expanded research and mitigation of PFAS contamination. Testing is expensive, and the cost burden should not fall on public citizens whose environments have been poisoned through no fault of their own. The cost of testing should fall on the chemical manufacturers and the entities that knowingly sell contaminated sludge. Generating funds through fees on sludge seems appropriate, akin to the registration fees required for selling pesticides in Maine. Those fees amass more than enough funding to run Maine's Board of Pesticides Control, and in fact, they generate a surplus each year. I understand from the Maine Water Environment Association that fees on sludges derived from public water and wastewater systems could amount to more than $1 million. And we just heard from Ms. Eleftheriou from DEP that that revenue could exceed $3 million. We do feel that a critical and urgent action should be turning off the PFAS tap to ensure that the class of forever chemicals stops adding to the many contaminants of municipal sludge. In fact, PFAS is just one of many taps needing to be turned off, but we do appreciate that there is great focus on this particular class of chemicals. Organic certification prohibits the use of biosolids as soil amendments due to its many toxic contaminants. So while we're on the topic of PFAS and sludge, it's important to know that it can contain thousands of toxic substances and chemical compounds such as PCBs, chlorinated pesticides, dioxins, heavy metals, bacteria, viruses, asbestos, petroleum products, and industrial solvents. If municipal sludge were not so badly contaminated with chemicals, many of which come from everyday household products, there would be many more options for safe recycling of biosolids to build healthy carbon sequestering soils. We hope that you'll support LD 1600 and all of the PFAS focused bills for which we have provided testimony during this legislative session. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Spalding. Nice to see you.
You too.
Any questions for Ms. Spalding? All right, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Next up is Sam Bullard.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can, welcome.
Excellent, thank you. Hello, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Sam Bullard. I use she, they pronouns, and I am here as a resident of Bangor and the co-program director of the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine. Today, I am testifying in support of LD 1600 because I believe in protecting Maine's waterways from mistreatment. In my area of Maine, we have all been hurt witnessing the blatant pollution of our lands and waters by companies such as Juniper Ridge Landfill, Nine Dragons, and Nine Dragons Paper Mill. Every day, countless gallons of leachate containing minimally tested PFAS are permitted by the government's current regulations to be dumped straight into the Penobscot River. The landfill continues to take toxic waste from other places outside Maine that are not even permitted to be dumped in their places of origin. We are allowing our state's natural integrity to be violated by out-of-state interests purely out of convenience for them and a disregard for our own lands. At the very least, our state could do better by enacting legislation that further protects our ecosystems from harmful chemicals. This issue also lives at the heart of Maine's community. So much of Maine is made up of our beautiful rivers, lakes, and other natural resources. These are all incredibly important to the Wabanaki people, who have always been stewards and protectors of the land. With the current levels of pollution permitted in our waters, we are seeing what was once clean drinking and fishing waters turn into toxic landscapes, slowly poisoning our wildlife and our communities who depend on these waterways. For far too long, the colonial mindset has desecrated and polluted vital parts of ourselves and the world we live in. Allowing such levels of waste into our ecosystems is an attack and on all of our community. It is for these reasons I am in support of LD 1600. I urge you all to pass this bill so that we can work together to protect and uphold the integrity of our state's ecosystem.
Thank you so much, Ms. Bullard. Are there any questions from the committee? Not seeing any. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Next up is Hillary Lister. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the committee. My name is Hillary Lister, and I live in Athens. I'm testifying in support of LD 1600 and specifically want to address amendments to LD 1600 that would require the DEP to set up a program to test landfill leachate for PFAS prior to the leachate being delivered to a wastewater treatment facility. It would also set maximum allowable levels for PFAS and toxic metals in landfill leachate by 2024, from what I understand of the amendment. As a result of state agencies, both in Maine and surrounding states, restricting the land spreading of biosolids that are contaminated with PFAS compounds, significant volumes are now ending up going into our landfills. According to the Maine PFAS Task Force report, Maine municipalities spent hundreds of thousands of dollars more than they had budgeted in 2019 to send PFAS-contaminated wastewater sludge to landfills instead of using it as a soil amendment. Now, most other Northeast states have either significant restrictions on the landfilling of sludge and septage, or they simply ban it. Maine has no similar restrictions or bans, and these are the materials that are highly likely to contain significant levels of PFAS. In the past, biosolids were often imported into Maine from other states for agricultural land spreading. Now, with the bans on land spreading, these out-of-state waste materials are increasingly filling up landfills in Maine and generating pressure for new landfills to be licensed for these materials. In the past couple years, the DEP has licensed three new landfills that would be able to accept these materials. It includes major expansion of the state-owned JRL landfill operated by Casella in Old Town, which included significant capacity for sludge disposal. The DEP also recently approved a new sludge landfill in Heartland, and this past week issued draft approval for a new 48-acre landfill authorized to accept out-of-state sludge and other special waste materials in Norridge Walk. Combined, these landfills generate tens of millions of gallons of leachate per month, and discharge from these landfills is approved through wastewater treatment facilities. For Old Town, the wastewater treatment facility discharges directly into the Penobscot River. The Heartland facility would discharge into the Sebasticook River, and the Norridge Walk facility is authorized to discharge into the Kennebec. In 2019, the DEP tested fish for PFAS levels at six locations along the Kennebec River, along with several locations on the Androscoggin and Kennebunk Rivers. And the highest levels of PFAS in the study were found in the Kennebec fish caught at the testing location below the Chaumont Dam. This dam is directly downstream from the discharge location. I see my time is running out here. I'll try and wrap this up. The PFAS levels in those fish were more than twice those of those tested any other location. We really need to take action to make sure that Maine's laws are on par with the regulations in surrounding states, or else Maine is really going to become a target for disposal of these materials. We also saw this in 2019 with disposal of over 250,000 gallons of PFAS contaminated leachate from New Hampshire into the Kennebec River. I've submitted written testimony that includes more of these details, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, and thank you for working on this matter.
Thank you, Ms. Lister. We do have your testimony, so I appreciate that. Any questions for Ms. Lister? Yes, Senator Bennett.
Not a question really, Ms. Lister, but just to thank you for assembling that information in a very informative way.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? All right, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Are there any other attendees here who wish to speak in favor of the legislation? If you could raise your hand in the attendee space. And anybody here to speak in opposition to the legislation, if you could raise your hand. Mr. Sawyer. Welcome, Mr. Sawyer.
Thank you very much, Senator Brenner. Representative Tucker, my name is Brad Sawyer. I'm a resident of Augusta and here on behalf of the Maine Rural Water Association. I'd like to state right off the bat that we certainly do not oppose this entire bill and recognize that testing certainly needs to be carried out in soil and water across the state. We oppose this legislation for one reason. My guess is at this point, everyone on the committee could probably take a guess and get the answer right due to my previous experiences. We don't believe that the people of Maine should be financially responsible for the cleanup and mitigation of PFAS. That's what this bill would do through fees on publicly owned treatment works and wastewater facilities. They are publicly owned. They are municipal or quasi-municipal districts. They are not out to make a buck. They derive their money from ratepayers, your constituents. And as previously mentioned, Tim Wade from Mawia has put forward testimony. They estimate that this would be in excess of $1 million coming from the ratepayers of utilities here in Maine. We really think that this should be something that is funded at a state or federal level. I understand the speed at which the federal level moves, but with some of the recent funding that has come down from them, we do believe that there are avenues for funding for this program. I understand that legislation is often considered in a vacuum, and I think that is reasonable to really focus on that piece of legislation. But I would argue PFAS bills should be considered slightly differently. There are a number of bills in multiple committees this year that will affect publicly owned community utilities. And while one bill, one fee increase seems insignificant, it really isn't when put all together. These utilities already have rates that people in their communities object to for being high. And I think that you're going to see a lot of folks have to raise rates on their neighbors if all of these should go through as written. So I just urge caution and thought that there are Mainers that are on the hook financially for this that had no intention of using PFAS, no intention of disposing of PFAS, and that should be a part of the conversation. I thank you for the time and I'm happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Sawyer. Any questions for Mr. Sawyer? All right, not seeing any.
Thank you
for joining us. There is, there's one person in the attendee space who's on the phone who would like to testify. So I'm gonna turn his mic on. And I think Mr. Spencer, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Senator Brenner. Thank you, Representative Tucker, members of the committee, for your patient listening to this compelling testimony. I live about 1.75 miles from the state-owned Juniper Ridge landfill here. And in the latest statistics I have, in a one-year period from June 2018 until May 2019, the state's landfill took in 65,000 tons of sewage sludge. That's about 2,100 tractor trailer loads that made their way all the way up here to exit 199 on Interstate 95. Well, we know that material has PFAS in it. You've heard testimony and seen written testimony about how it gets into the Penobscot River. And once this PFAS is in the landfill, I'm thinking there's three places that PFAS need to be tested for. One is certainly in the outflow where the leachate is released with other liquids into the Penobscot River. The other one is the test wells that surround the state landfill. And also the leachate should be tested for it as it's leaving the landfill. Mr. Lippincott testified about the problems at the Pine Tree landfill in Hamden. I anticipate, unfortunately, similar problems at this unfortunately state-owned dump. So we have to be aware of the magnitude of this problem, and I commend you for confronting this issue in a bipartisan way. And I think we just need to work together and first to identify and also remediate. And as far as the funding, I'm okay with putting a fee on sludge disposal, and because I think that can be shared by citizens of Maine without too much of a burden. But also, I urge you and the rest of us to lobby our federal representation to get some help there for funding for state agencies to investigate and respond to this emerging crisis. But we have to measure it before we know just what the issues really are. So I thank you for your time. I sent in some written testimony, and I'll probably be in touch with you pretty soon on other issues. Thank you.
Mr. Spencer, we do have your written testimony. Thank you for that. Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. Spencer? I don't see any hands going up. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Are there any other folks in the attendee space here to speak, neither for nor against? Neil Goldberg.
Hello, one more time.
Welcome.
Thank you. As it appears that I might be the last testimony of the day, I'll try to make it brief. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, and members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My name is Neil Goldberg, and I am providing provisional testimony, neither for nor against LD 1600 on behalf of Maine Municipal Association. As has been iterated previously, this is a great idea for a fund. The extent of PFAS contamination in our land and waters needs to be known. The use of it long surpassed our knowledge that we knew that it was harmful, and we need to find ways to remediate that. But as eloquently stated by Mr. Sawyer before me, this does put the cost of funding this fund equally amongst all Mainers. And it's going to really strain the budgets of many of our wastewater treatment plants. Many of them that are small and municipally owned are already struggling to fulfill their vital service to their residents and are going to have to find a way to draw funds to come up with that $1 million that other individuals have mentioned. And so we would encourage bringing in the responsible parties, the real manufacturers of these products, the ones that are bringing the products into our state before they even wind up at wastewater treatment plants. And so we'd be looking for some sort of collaboration on that. But we appreciate your thoughtful consideration, and it's definitely an important matter. So thank you for your time, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Any questions for Mr. Goldberg? All right, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, I believe that ends our public hearing for LD 1600. Thank you, Representative Gramlich, for bringing that forward. Appreciate the effort. And that closes that public hearing for today. And I think next up, yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank you again, Senator and Representative Tucker, for accommodating my crazy schedule today. Thank you very, very much. I really, really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to move Mr. Stone back into the attendee space. So I think what we have left for today is some language review with Mr. Tartikoff. Hi.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you too. I've been here all day.
You've been hiding behind your name.
Yeah. So Deirdre, actually, there's a subcommittee meeting for EUT, so she had to leave for that. So all we have today is my one review, if you still want to do that.
Yeah, let's do it, and then it's done.
Okay, so this should be pretty quick. This was LD 780. This is an act regarding uncontrolled hazardous substance sites. It's a DEP bill. It was voted unanimously. Ought to pass as amended. I might as well just share real quick. So you recall there was initially a divided report, and then there was an amendment proposed by Senator Bennett that made a slight change to the use of the term best management practices in the bill. And then it was voted unanimously, ought to pass as amended. The fiscal note, which is really the only real change here, is actually not a change. It's pretty much the exact same fiscal note from what was previously the majority report, showing a potential future binium cost increase and revenue increase to other special revenue funds at the DEP. So if this looks good to everyone, I can go ahead and get this reported out so you can start signing, or I guess we only need one signature because it's not a divided report. We can get it out.
Great. Looks great to me. Any committee comments or feedback?
No, I'm delighted that we're at the end of the road on this one. It ties right into the testimony we've been hearing about PFAS.
It does.
This bill will allow the department to designate certain PFAS chemicals as hazardous and thus bring them under our uncontrolled sites law, which is our state Love Canal law or Superfund law. Those are other names used for it. This will be wonderful.
Any other comments? All right, thank you so much, Dan. All right, friends, that brings us to the end of our Friday session. We are meeting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week.